Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, where we delved once again into the My Sporting Life archive. But it was an event as opposed to a personality this time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the 88 Cup Final.
Yeah.
With everybody covered.
Yeah, that's right. All bases were covered. We also chatted to Ben Bloom, athletics correspondent at The Telegraph. He was quite surprised at the performance enhancement he got from a pair of these super shoes.
I found this very interesting.
Yeah.
More interesting than perhaps on paper I would think it would be.
Yeah, well, maybe. I just hope the listeners feel the same.
Absolutely.
As they find out what we're talking about. We had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We did have a
various
chat.
Various bits and pieces.
Offload a big picture of my face.
Yeah, that's right. It's still up for grabs. Are we you going to make... Well, anyway, look, we'll worry about that later. So, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. I guess there's probably only one place to start, and that was obviously my plan to try and bring the nation together by...
To make a game beyond Southampton and Palace fans, to make that game for the neutral worth watching.
Absolutely
a bit of sport.
Right.
Yes.
And so I said, look, there's going to be under... There's 10 corners or under, I said there'd be, and I was confident with that. And then my Twitter exploded with people who clearly don't have enough things to do.
Yeah. Chris, you ruined people's evenings.
Well, in many ways, I did bring the nation together, but not how I anticipated. Chris, 6 corners inside 30 minutes, not looking good. Gavin at 9 corners already, Max, not looking great for you. No more corners, said YLD Drums, Paravamarias.
These all could have been watching the Brits.
they could have been
having a really good night, but you've got into their heads and you made them watch a game and count corners.
11 corners after 40 minutes, scenes. 13 corners already, said James. Madness on the South Coast. How have you managed to jinx the corners, said Bruce. Lee, just the 18 corners so far. 20 in the end, there were. Half of all Premier League games finished with between 9 and 13 corners.
Right.
I've tried to find
You're
out.
Jonah.
What a waste of my morning it was. I can't find out the most number of corners ever in a Premier League game.
You found it. It was a Leicester-Manchester United match, wasn't it?
On the 13th of November 1965, Leicester City were awarded at least 34 corners in a home game against Manchester
34.
United. And still lost 5-0. They got to do some work on either Manchester United's zonal marking in 1965 was excellent, or Leicester needed to do some more on the training ground.
They need to work on set pieces.
In the mid-60s, yes. So if anybody does know the most number of corners, and don't say 4 in a Premier League football match, I'd like to find out. But it was an interesting deep dive into the corner, and it did bring people together. So we did our job.
Bit more housekeeping. We spoke yesterday about the big game between Woking and Sutton in the National League. We brought in our talkie supporting producer and Fletcher, who just bringing you the news and sport. A big Woking fan. He wanted his team to lose last night to stymie their rivals, not geographically, of course, Torquay. Well, it finished 3-2. Woking gave it a good go.
They did.
And it's now opened things up, really. At Stockport, they drew. It looks like it's a two-horse race between Sutton and Torquay. But
Sutton has to, yes.
As the producer was saying earlier on, you know, Sutton have still got to go to Hartlepool and get something. So yeah. I'd love it. So it's gone down that route now. So he's putting the pressure on them. But there we are. Other bit of housekeeping dealt with in the news. We spoke to Marcel van der Kraan yesterday about the possibility of Virgil van Dijk going to the Euros with Holland. And he has made a statement. I'm sure a lot of very relieved Liverpool fans. I mean, if I was a Liverpool fan, I'd think, oh, come on, you've missed most of the season. Don't do this. Thankfully, he hasn't, which is good.
Can we just do a little bit more housekeeping? I like Trevor Sinclair. And he did score an excellent overhead kick once that I'm a big fan of.
I know.
But trying to tell, you know, trying to get Manchester United a points deduction for playing some of the players in their squad seems, you know, you name a 25, presumably you should be able to use those 25. Fair enough if you used, but if they brought in 11 ringers, I kind of see the point, you know, or if they played the under nines. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But come
or
on.
Or a veterans team. Well, they'd put out a vet side.
I think they put out a vets team.
They'd put out a legends, a team of legends.
You know, they did. They're okay, weren't they? I mean, it was a pretty close game.
I mean, they weren't beaten. They won.
No, they won.
And I tend to agree with you. I looked at it and, you know, nominally my team are one of that chasing pack. Yeah, kind of.
Well, let's not go too far.
But, you know, the idea that, you know, the integrity was lost. You know, if you make a team play Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, they probably won't play the same 11 players. Yeah. It's not 1973 anymore. You can't do that. So I didn't blame them for 1 minute, and 2-1 was no disgrace, really, was it? They should keep their points intact.
Yes, it's official now. Manchester United won't be docked any points. We've decided. Yeah. I had a chat with Trevor after the show. We thanked him for what he'd done, but we've said no.
We're not taking it any further.
But that volley was the Leicester opener, wasn't that a beauty? There's nothing. It's a side foot pass. It's the greatest skill in football, and it was just a brilliant finish, wasn't it? Absolutely.
It was reminiscent of a Bale goal at Stoke. Isn't it about a sort of volleyed side foot type? You know, do you remember that one?
I think they're different. I was in step from Bale.
You think, oh, okay.
I think so.
Well,
this is more.
Pedant,
it's important, isn't it?
Sitting there counting corners and talking about whether it was side foot or in step.
You're enjoying this.
And
this
the whole of this show behind me, kind of looming, leering over my shoulder, is a massive Panini sticker of Max Rushton's face. Yeah, how big would you say that is? Is it probably about.
Is that 1.5 times my normal head?
It's about 3 foot by 3 foot. Yeah. And the good people at Panini have heard Max doing his Panini-related material at the weekend.
sounds more sordid than it is.
They have put together a kind of an England Panini sticker for him for the Euros. And the thing is, you walk home. You have a walk of about half an hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah, I do.
Are you going to carry that home with you? What will the gaffer say when you say, I want to put it above the TV? Are you going to play that card just for a bit of fun? Say, look, I like it. I'm going to put it on the wall.
There are not enough photos of me in this office, and I'm going to hang it up here.
Really?
Yeah, going to bring in a hammer and nail. You know, I go home at DIY, I bring in a hammer and nail, stick it up somewhere.
We could have a Max Rushton competition and you could give it away to one of your acolytes.
Oh, that's a good idea. Would anybody like a giant picture of me? Is that a self-indulgent quiz? 8:10:89. And why?
Why do you want it?
Why do you want it?
Are we going to pay the postage?
Yeah, I'll cover the postage.
When I say we.
Yeah, I'll happily cover them. I'll get it couriered.
That'll cost a few quid to post. You might as well strap it to someone's back on a bike. Make sure it goes to someone in Dumfries or something. Do you want a giant picture of Max Rushton and why?
You driving a cab around the Shard as well?
Have you been having trouble with sort of foxes coming after you? You want something to frighten the local vermin? Then tell us why you need it. What could you do with a 3 foot by 3 foot massive head of Max Rushton?
Dangerous text topic ever done.
Well, let's see what we get. We'll read the stuff we can
read.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Within reason.
Yeah, within
why
reason.
Why do you want it? What are you going to do with it? And be creative.
Treat it in the spirit. Yes. Which, you know, don't use it as an excuse to having a pop at him, for goodness sake. We're having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Grow up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A lot of people are interested in taking that 3 foot by 3 foot picture of your Panini sticker of your head for various things. I need to improve my darts, says Peter.
Of course, thank you.
A few people have said that, Peter. Yes. Thank you for that. We collect cardboard cutouts, says Paul, and picks at work. So it will be a great addition to our collection. I don't know what the others are.
Russell has emailed. You can email the show, by the way, max.rushton@talksport.co.uk if you want to bypass the quality filter of Paul.
Yeah.
Come straight to me.
Straight to him with all your garbage.
A few years ago, you did a video message, says Russell, for me. I lost my phone this week, and with it, the video. Very sad. I would use it as the beginning of a shrine to the cult of Max. Right. Blimey, Russell.
It's a bit Partridge, that, isn't it, really? The big tattoo on the back.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, we have a cup final this weekend. I much prefer the cup final being the end of the season, I've got to be honest, but, you know, it's been a bit of a weird year, so it's the least of our problems.
Do you think there should be an amnesty, or this should be the last ever cup final where you're allowed to say, I remember when the TV coverage would start at 8
in
the morning.
Talk about the wrestling.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tarby's Star Bar. And all that stuff.
Gerald sits down the bus on the walk, you know, with the team.
A couple of fans getting tickets outside the stadium, being given them by, you know, well, we've got you a pair of tickets now. And then finding out after they were touts. So anyway, let's look back at a memorable cup final. 1988, Wimbledon versus Liverpool. A great commentary moment from Motti, of course, among our memories. And some of the main protagonists from that game did an excellent My Sporting Life with Danny Kelly a while back. It's available to listen to again in the build-up to this weekend's cup final on the TalkSport app. Danny joins us as always. Hi, Dan.
Hello, man. Thank you for having me again. Listen, just to say that calling it an excellent My Sporting Life, with all due respect, Paul, you're the master of elegant understatement. It's absolutely bonkers, this programme. It's absolutely brilliant. I've got no false modesty about it. When My Sporting Life was on that run of winning radio programme of the year over and over again and all that sort of stuff, I have to say, I always thought it was because of this one programme. Look, we got three people who were very much involved: Bobby Gould and Terry Gibson from the Wimbledon camp, Ray Houghton from the Liverpool camp. And I have to say, Bobby was in particularly honest mood that day and decided he was going to tell everything about the run-up to that cup final and the game itself. Ray had not heard but what Wimbledon had been up to all the time. And at one stage, and you'll hear it in the show, a little tear ran down his face. He started to cry at memories of that amazing cup final where Wimbledon beat Liverpool, despite the extraordinary preparations for the game. I have to tell you as well that we had to edit some of it. Some of it was so near the knuckle, some of the things that were going on, that you'd have to meet me in a pub to get the full version. But there's still enough great stuff in there to enjoy it.
We'll kick off with Bobby, and this before they even got to Wembley, and this is a great story. Bobby, I've heard Bobby tell this. It's a corker. It's hard to believe, if people watching the Premier League now, that this sort of thing went on. This is how teams travelled to FA Cup semi-finals. But this was the minibus trip to the semi-final at White Hart Lane.
I looked at Donna and I said, do you want a pre-match meal? Do you want a big hotel? He says they couldn't handle it. I says, okay. So I tell you what, I says, we'll have the lads that live south of the river and they'll go in the minibus with me. And those that live north of the river, just drive up to the White Hart Lane. I said, I can't get them parking passes, but they'll drive up and they'll have their own food at home. And Sam will be happy at that. He'll be saving a few, Bob, anyway. But I said to the missus, I says, I'm too nervous. I says, I'm not driving our car. You drive our car. So she was in the Fiat Croma. I said, you follow me and I'll take the minibus. We had John Scales. I drive up to the Blackfriars Bridge and there's these two coppers. They said, who are you? I says, I'm Bobby Gould. He says, what are you doing in that? I said, I'm driving this minibus. He said, oh, we're waiting for the Wimbledon team coach. I said, this is it.
Am I right in thinking, though, that the Wimbledon players who come to the semi-final of the FA Cup in their own cars, the ones who live north of the river, couldn't get into the very tight car park?
Oh, no, they had to park outside.
They had to find parking spaces in the street and walk to the ground,
Drive to White Hart Lane, and then we go into White Hart Lane. I'm driving into the car park, and it's the Jobsworth, and the Jobsworth goes, stop! You're not coming in with that. I says, why not? He says, well, we're waiting for the Wimbledon tea coach. I says, this is it. He says, no, it's not. It's not a coach. It's a minibus. I says, pal, if you don't let me in, I says, there's no game. He says, what do you mean? I says, well, I've got the kit, I've got the boots, I've got everything. And if you stop us from going in there, no football game. Are you taking that responsibility?
It is amazing.
It's hard to park at White Hart Lane at the best of times, isn't it?
Some of the Wimbledon players had to park so far away, and everyone knows what the parking's like in that part of North London even 30 years ago. Some of them had to jog to the semi-final in order to play the game. There was that, and then, you know, we haven't got time for all of this. The story about the hotel on the night before and John Fashanu punching the bathroom door down. The ticketing arrangements, my learned friends, etc. It was just an incredible... The game itself is... And we shouldn't forget, the cup final in 1988 was still the biggest domestic game of the season. And, you know, the game itself was dwarfed by what was going on, particularly with the Wimbledon lot. Meanwhile, Liverpool, the best, arguably the best club team in Europe at the time, are blithely unaware of all of this.
Yeah. And there was all these stories, Annie, that maybe Liverpool had not taken it seriously enough. They thought they would just roll Wimbledon over. But I know you spoke to Ray about this, and he talked about how Liverpool went into that final.
I mean, there's huge pressure on us because I think every bookmaker and establishment out there had us favourites, not only to win it, but by a country. I mean, there was also talk about a record victory for Liverpool. I mean, all this nonsense that was out there, we knew it was going to be tough because we played them, played them a couple of times that season.
Wimbledon did finish ninth in the league that year. It's not like you're talking about a pub team. For all the laugh we're having about this,
I think what everyone was taking into consideration is the way that Liverpool had played.
Yes.
You're playing at Wembley. It's the first time Wimbledon had been to a major final. The Liverpool players and club had been there on numerous occasions, and it was a case of if they turned up and played their football in this big open expansive pitch, then it was going to be Liverpool's for the taking.
Yeah.
I mean, and later on, as I say, when Bobby and Terry Gibson started to outline exactly what had been going on prior to the game, Ray did, I mean, here we were, this was 30 years after the event, certainly 25 years after the event. He was literally tears running down his face, not laughing, I can assure you. And he was just saying over and over again, how did this happen? It's incredible. I mean, I hope it's reflected when you play the thing, when you listen to the thing. My own enjoyment of the actual interview was almost better than the cup final for me. It got better and better and better. Well, I should make the point, Paul, very quickly. Yes. I should make the point as well. The previous year, of course, Spurs had lost the FA Cup final to Coventry, and I'd been boycotting the tournament as protest. I only decided to watch the final at the last minute.
It's ridiculous.
I'm a ridiculous man.
Well, I know that.
Our team have been boycotting cup finals for most of the years since, sadly. Terry Gibson, you spoke to him as well, and of course we got Motti's, the crazy gang of beating the Culture Club, of course. But this is how Terry said he felt when that final whistle blew.
You know, the build-up, then they play the music while they're introducing the teams and all that. Getting to Wembley itself, walking on the pitch, seeing your family, abide with me. I was in the shower because it was so hot. We warmed up, had a shower literally 2 or 3 minutes before we went out. Cold shower to cool down. You can hear abide with me. So the whole thing is massively emotional for a first-timer like myself, only time. And, of course, to win it as well, that's when it really kicks on, the emotion of all those years growing up, watching these cup finals and pretending you're the player that's just scored the winning goal and you've just done it. And, you know, as I said, to do it, and you look along the bench, Kenny Dalglish was there, and all these famous people that have been involved with Liverpool. And it certainly made it special for us that we beat such a special football club.
Good stuff.
It's a great story, isn't it?
Just very amazing. Quickly there, Terry, of course, and there's no spoiler alert here because it's solid goal from start to finish, if I say so myself. Terry, of course, shouldn't have been playing. He'd injured himself the previous day in training and knew that his foot was going to swell up, and you'll hear it in the programme. Terry then goes to bed with his foot still inside the football boots. He knew if he took it off, he would never get it on again. And so nobody at the club knew at the time that he would never have passed a fitness test, and he slept in his football boots to make sure that he got to play in the cup final.
Brilliant. So
that's a great story.
People should have a listen back to that before the final this
Cheers,
weekend.
Daddy.
Good stuff. Cheers, Danny. We'll catch up with you next week.
Oh, I hope so. Cheers, mate.
There are Danny Kelly, the host of My Sporting Life, and that is well worth a listen. It's a great listen. There's some brilliant stories. We just scratched the surface there. Go along. It's the TalkSport app. Just download it from wherever you get your apps. You can swipe between TalkSport and TalkSport 2 for all of our live sport and more. And you can listen to the My Sporting Life archive and that reflection on the 1988 FA Cup final. Lots of people asking. We put a picture out on the TalkSport website of the offending article, the 3-foot by 3-foot poster of Max Rushton on a Panini sticker.
It's bigger than that.
People, you think it is?
I don't know. It is large.
I'd say it's roughly about that. Yeah. It's big enough. And you want it bigger?
I did say, send it back. I'd like it bigger. But what would you like it and what would you do with it? Andrew says, I'd stick it to my television every Saturday morning to imagine I'm watching the Soccer AM Glory Year. Good for you, Andrew. Absolutely right. I'm about as wooden in that photo as I was for the first couple of years of the glory years as well. Lots of people, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people want it. So we'll tweet that out and from TSH&J. Go and check it out, see what you think, and tell us why you'd like it. I would take it to our first championship game at London Road next season.
No, I'm not sure what would happen to it there.
Show Max some real Cambridgeshire football. It might get burnt.
Many congratulations on your promotion.
Yeah.
Peterborough
United. You'll be joining them next year, one way or the other?
They'll come down, we'll go up again, won't we, obviously.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hi guys, my name is Steve. It's a text message. I love the show. I'd love the picture of Max, please. 3x3 Panini sticker, giant one on my head. I have a pub shed in my garden called Rexy's 44 Pub. I'd put it as pride of place in there. I'm willing to change the name of the pub to Rushton's Retreat.
Do you like that? Rushton's Retreat?
Yes, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's almost too friendly an offer, isn't it? We weren't looking for those, were we?
We've got something else to run past you very quickly as well, which we didn't get around to earlier on. You probably would have seen all these people that turned up for their vaccination and got in a queue at Home Park and found they were queuing for Plymouth Argyle season tickets.
The thing about it, you get a Plymouth season ticket, you feel fine that day. The next day it really hurts.
Well, it really knocks you. I was in bed for a week after I bought a Plymouth Argyle season ticket. So have you ever got in the wrong queue? We're looking for or line if you're in America. Have you ever got in the wrong queue? Let us know this afternoon and what were the consequences of it. We had a couple of good ones, didn't we?
Yes. Ben, no relation to Lawrence Fox, says, first day on first ever snowboarding holiday. After an hour's lesson, I accidentally got in the wrong lift queue and found myself at the top of a black run. I took hours to get down, sliding on my backside. It's quite a good one. Nick says, my worst for wear brother was queuing at a burger stall at Creamfields. When he made it to the front, the lady told him he needed the next stall along. She only sold tea and coffee. Three times he repeated the same exercise until the lady just got him a burger from the next stall.
Very good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You've been telling us about the wrong things you queued for this afternoon, in light of what happened to the people who went for their jab and nearly bought a Plymouth Argyle season ticket.
I have to come back 23 times and then I'm fully vaccinated.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Lucy says, my dad and I queued at Elland Road for the playoff final tickets, only to eventually realise when a man with a guitar joined the queue that we were in fact in the X Factor auditions queue that were being held on the same day.
Oh,
no, imagine doing all the way through with your dad, one of those novelty acts, father and daughter, singing the classics. Thank you, Lucy.
This comes from, put your name on this one. A few years ago, I was backpacking around the world. Nice gig. I was in Tel Aviv sleeping in a dormitory for a few nights. Me and a fellow traveller went out into town to the street food market to have a bit of grub. I queued for 5 minutes at a falafel stand. When I got to the counter, I was chuffed to see the lad taking the money was wearing a Birmingham City shirt. I gave him a high five and started walking away with my falafel wrap. My mate then noticed that this shirt had my name on the back. He'd stolen both of our backpacks and was wearing my mate's trainers. Choice words were exchanged and we got our stuff back.
This is from Grant from Enfield, an old Stationers FC. Yeah, good side. Dear boys, read the wrong queue. At the start of lockdown last year, I ordered a set of paint rollers from B&Q Click and Collect in Enfield. When I arrived, the queue was about a mile long, so I joined the back and edged forward patiently till I got to the front of the queue. I was approached by a worker who asked what I'd ordered. I said, a set of mini paint rollers. And she said, sorry, sir, this is the queue for Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I could not get out of the queue because it was cordoned off. About 10 cars had to reverse so I could go back out and join the B&Q line. Very embarrassing.
I know that, there, I know that particular estate, and I'm trying to think how this could have happened. I still can't get my head around it.
I just get a bucket of wings and just go home.
You may have gone down the Krispy Kreme route. I've got no idea.
Thank you to George, by the way, who is interested in the 3x3 foot giant panini sticker of my head. If you'd like it, tell us why or give it away. Happy to. I'll pay for the postage. George has emailed. It's a way to get through to the show without the quality control of Paul. And so it comes straight to me, max.rushton@talksport.co.uk. Hi, Max. I think you'd fit in wonderfully next to this lot. This is all. And in one of his rooms, he has framed sort of portraits with it looks like the moon behind them of the following: Messi, Ronaldo, Maradona, Pele, Cruyff, Ronaldinho, R9 Ronaldo, and George Best. I'm not sure if I should be in that company, I'll be honest. I don't know what you think, Paul. Are you happy with me alongside
it's
that?
It's an awful lot bigger than all the other pictures.
I'm not sure that's the main problem
as well.
I think it was in between George Best and R9.
Yeah. Yes,
it's a front three.
It's great company to be in,
isn't it?
Richard said, I'd love the picture of Max because I have limited space at home. Okay. I live with my girlfriend and parents. She's constantly moaning I take up too much space, even though I only have about one drawer and a maximum 1/8 of a very large wardrobe, owing to the fact she won't know who Max is or anyone else in the household will either. I feel this would be a very good addition to my already limited space. He wants you to basically use you as a weapon, a space weapon.
I've been called that, to be fair. LJ says, I'd hang it on my bedroom ceiling as a reminder every time that I wake up that no matter how little talent someone can have, they can still make it in this world, he says. Thank you. It's friendly banter, he calls. That old muggin says I'd start up a cab company and call, you know, he's saying I should. Start up a cab company, call it Rushton's Cabs, and use it as a sign on the top of the cab.
That would be good, yeah.
Colin says, as luck would have it.
Funny, odd way to start a business, though, isn't it? Well, I've got the 3 foot panini sticker, I might as well start a cab company. All the setup, the radio equipment, getting the drivers on board. You know, it's quite a big undertaking.
I'm prepared to do it.
It all started with a 3 foot by 3 foot poster, and now he is the Uber of the UK.
Colin says, as luck would have it, I'm in the area. I'm available to pick it up. Unfortunately, however, I don't want it.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Colin. Fair enough. Everything was going so well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You'll be aware of the controversy around these athletic super shoes that have seen records being broken. And, you know, some people talk about should there be an asterisk alongside them because they give you an unfair advantage. And most people from the outside say, well, it's just a pair of trainers. How much real difference can it make? Well, we have talked about this before, and I think the answer is surprisingly considerable. The latest to don a new pair, because we were told, really, when the first ones came along, you know, they'd been patented and no one could copy them. Well, that hasn't worked out quite as well as everybody hoped. Certainly the first people who did them, because ASICS now have their own pair. And Ben Bloom, the Telegraph's athletics correspondent, tried them for size and was quite shocked by the result. Good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon.
I mean, people, when they, I'm sure, you know, you go out somewhere in the days when you could go to a party or have a drink, people say, oh, you're the athletics correspondent of the Telegraph. Do you ever write about those new shoes? What difference can they make? They're a pair of shoes. I mean, people, are they sceptical about it?
Yeah, people are sceptical, and people also just dismiss it and go, well, technology changes. How much difference can it really make? It'll give you a second here, a second there. But do you expect us to run in boots that we wore 100 years ago? That type of thing, which is, you know, fair comment, I suppose.
But you put these shoes on, and I mean, look, fair play, you're 5K, you're a good runner, right? You know, you're running pretty fast anyway. And in many ways, that makes it more extraordinary that you took, what, like over a minute off your 5K time?
Yeah, it was just under a minute. I put these new Asics shoes that were responsible for the 5K, the women's 5K world record falling last month. So I thought I'd try them out. I've never worn these so-called super shoes before, and I was absolutely staggered. I really was. They feel like nothing I've ever put my feet in before, nothing I've ever run in before. It really is like having little trampolines on your feet. You feel like your legs are encouraging you and willing you on. When the rest of your body is tiring, your legs are going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
It's strange.
I mean, that's the really interesting thing. I went for a run this morning, and I was trying to do 10, and I had my first jab last week, and I'm feeling a bit flat, and I've got no willpower. And after about 6, I just gave up. I saw one of those e-bikes and just got it and went home. But like that thing in your article when you say, you know, every part of your body wants to stop. And with me, in my normal clogging trainers, that included my feet. It sort of defies science. Do you see what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense that at that moment when you're knackered, they are driving you on.
Exactly. You have, don't get me wrong, you get exactly the same. Your heart is pumping, your lungs are burning. You feel aerobically like you're at your absolute limit, but you just don't have the same feeling in your legs. And it kicks in the later stages. At the start, you can run at the same pace. At the start of your run, you can always run at the same pace, but it's when that usual fatigue sets in, that's when these shoes start to work their magic.
Now, do they help with impact as well? Because obviously, you know, people of a certain age, you go out and run maybe and the knees have taken a bit of a pounding. Do they show any signs of helping there?
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's what the manufacturers say, and I can definitely believe it, that they reduce the impact on your knees, your ankles, so you will be able to recover quicker, and therefore it puts less stress on your legs. So they are beneficial.
And in terms of fitness, are they, you know, if that's getting you a minute faster, is that better for you or worse for you? You know, you're doing less running. So I'm just trying to work
out. You must still be doing the same running.
I mean, you're still
you're doing the same distance when the one foot's going in front of the other.
That is true.
It just feels easier,
I'm not an athletics correspondent, Paul, as you noticed there.
Well, nor am I.
does that question make any sense, Ben, or shall I strike it from the record?
I think you put in the same amount of energy, you get back more output. So it makes life easier. If you want to run, say you're set on running a 20-minute 5K, you will be able to put in a little less energy to do that 20-minute 5K. But if you want to put in the same amount, you'll probably run quicker than 20 minutes.
But they're still very expensive. These ones are £225. They're all over 200 quid, and we're probably likely to see more and more of these. So they are for serious runners. But when people now ask you, Ben, what do you do 5K in? What are you going to say? You're going to talk about life with the new trainers or not?
I don't know. It's the dilemma that I grappled with in the piece that I wrote after testing them. I know what I'm physically capable of running 5K in. And yet suddenly I can quote a time that's nearly a minute quicker than that. And I don't feel I've done anything to earn it. So honestly, I don't know. I don't know.
But by the same token, I think you should take it, because if you did your normal 5K in your Nike Pegasus, which you normally wear, or a pair of old Dunlop Green Flash, you'd probably be quicker in the Pegasus. So I have a bit of sympathy for that argument. In that, you know, the technology does move on. These are becoming a bit more of the norm. So I'd take it if I was you.
All right. Thank you.
Just under 18 minutes
Can I just check how different or how similar is this to the debate about the shoes that the Olympians are wearing and what they should and shouldn't be wearing?
Well, this technology is in trainers now, road running shoes. So at the Olympics, in the marathon, they will be wearing these shoes. They've now harnessed the same technology into track spikes as well. So we're going to see exactly the same thing in middle distance track races. So 800 meters, 1500, anything up to 10K. It's going to be exactly the same as this. The times that we have always associated in the past with a certain level of achievement, that has now gone.
Wow. Interesting, isn't it? So we sort of need two world record, pre and post two world record.
Yeah, it's a huge debate. But Ben, thank you.
Thanks
very much.
Thank you.
Ben Bloom there, the Athletics correspondent of The Telegraph. You can read his piece today in a bit more detail if you're looking to invest in a pair of super shoes.
So what you're telling me is if I run 5K, I've run 5K.
No matter what shoes you're in, you've still run 5K. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm learning this bit, this asking questions.
You're going to get a pair
business.
Of super shoes? I told you they're over 200 quid. You weren't so sure, were you?
Well, before you told me that, I was really quite tempted. And obviously not tell any of my friends on the Strava group. Suddenly see my times just...
They will get cheaper, these shoes, I'm sure, in the fullness of time. But if
anyone has a pair and wants to swap them for a 3x3 Panini sticker of me...
Sounds like a fair swap.
It does, doesn't it?
That sounds like a fair swap.
One of these in the world, Paul.
Yeah, of course.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We have a 3x3 Panini sticker with Max's face on it. It must go, because he doesn't want to carry it home through the streets of London. A bit weird. His missus doesn't want it cluttering up the place. So you're telling us why you would like it this afternoon. You're also telling us after what happened to the people who went for their vaccination at Plymouth Argyle's ground and then found they were in the wrong queue and were queuing up for Plymouth season tickets. We want your wrong queue story, so you can bring us some of those this afternoon as well. So
yes, here's one. Wrong queue. I was in Mexico. I queued for what I thought was a tour bus of the city. After around 30 minutes, I realised it wasn't. It was just a normal bus. Surely it would be like open top, with like someone with a microphone.
No audio commentary, just sort of people with chickens. And
exactly.
It would have been a bit weird, wouldn't it?
People with their shopping. After around half an hour, I realised it wasn't a tourist bus. The penny should have dropped quicker than half an hour. After a journey of around an hour, I was the only passenger left on the bus. And then the bus stopped in the middle of nowhere and the driver got out, pointing at me to get off. I had no idea where I was. Perfect.
No, that's
a good way to see the city, though, isn't that? That's proper travelling, though. Thank you.
Yeah. If a touch dangerous.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And we'll do it all again tomorrow. Birthday spread, of course, tomorrow.
Yes, I'm on a roll.
Yeah, well, you are. That's right. I think we can use the word momentum if you win tomorrow. I think if you don't win tomorrow, we use the word blip.
Right, okay.
But if you win tomorrow, we can use the word momentum.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Well, we'll see. It's happening at 3:30. We've got plenty of other stuff for you. Besides, until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.